Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, Crime Salad listeners. Welcome back to Crime Salad. My name's Ashley.
And I'm Ricky.
And we're here to talk true crime. So, this week we are diving into the disappearance of Mike Williams. Was it an accident, or is there something more to the story?
It's probably something more.
Well, in December of 2000, Mike Williams woke up early to go duck hunting before an anniversary dinner that was planned with his wife, Denise. However, as the day went on and Mike was nowhere to be seen, Denise began to worry. His best friend Brian and her dad headed to the lake to go look for him, checking the usual hunting spots. And when they got there, they found his truck and his boat half submerged in the weeds. His belongings were still on the boat, but there was no sign of Mike. A several-month-long search begins with the assumption that he drowned in an accident, eventually being declared dead despite the lack of remains. Now, keep in mind, he was thought to be hunting at this lake called Lake Seminole, a lake located in Florida filled with alligators.
Whoa.
However, between family and experts, it was more than just a tragic hunting accident that went unsolved for years. Jerry Michael Williams, he had always gone by Mike. To give you a little family history, he grew up with an older brother named Nick, and together they were raised in a modest home, not having a lot of money. The family as a whole was very close, supportive, and loving, and the parents worked hard to give their boys a good childhood. Mike's dad drove a Greyhound bus, and his mom, Cheryl, worked in a daycare while they all lived in Tallahassee, Florida. Instead of buying a house, the Williams saved money to send both boys to a small private school, North Florida Christian High School.
That's such a sacrifice, not buying a house so you can give your children a better education.
Yeah. And as Nick and Mike grew older, they started to work night shifts at a supermarket to help out with the family's expenses. So, a very supportive family.
Yeah, definitely.
Around the age of 15 is when Mike started his duck hunting hobby. Throughout high school, Mike was popular. He was an active member of Key Club, a football player, and student body president. And he was even voted best personality in the yearbook. So he was thriving at the North Florida Christian High School with a very small graduating class of only about 80 people in total.
Wow. 80 people? I mean, I come from a tiny, tiny town. And I think my graduating class was something like 100.
Wow. That's also super small. So I bet if any news happened, everyone immediately knew.
Yeah. 100%. Everybody knows everything about each other. And honestly, they probably know way too much about each other.
I feel like everyone dates.
Everyone dates each other. 100%.
Now, Ricky, maybe you've always dreamed of selling your custom coffee blends online, or maybe you want to sell some cool merch, maybe cute candles.
I want to sell all those things.
Let me introduce you to our friend behind the scenes, Shopify.
Oh, Shopify, yeah.
With just a few clicks, you've got your online store set up, and you will be amazed at how easy it is to set up a store. Now, it's not just about getting bigger. It's about reaching further and making your business dreams a viable reality.
That sounds really good.
Thanks. Oh, yeah, it does. And when we first ventured into the world of podcasting, our main focus was sharing stories. An online store was the furthest thing from our mind. It was challenging to create a website, toggling between different websites, spending hours of building a website, and it was just such a headache.
Honestly, I was just focused on trying to pronounce words right.
And we definitely faced our challenges with that. Fast forward to today, we're selling exclusive limited edition Crime Salad merchandise, from sleek hoodies to quirky mugs branded with Crime Salad art. And guess what?
What?
It was all so easy to set up, all because we use Shopify. Shopify has truly streamlined the process of setting up an online store, allowing us to focus more on creating content for our podcast. The user-friendly interface and customizable options have made selling merchandise a seamless experience for us. It doesn't matter how big your growth goals are, Shopify gives you all the tools you need to take charge and grow your business, because businesses that grow...
Oh, they grow together.
Yeah, they also grow with Shopify.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/crimesalad, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/crimesalad now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/crimesalad. Now, it was during high school that he started to date Denise Merrill, and the high school sweethearts both ended up going to Florida State University, and they got married in 1994. And after 5 years of marriage, in 1999, they had a daughter, Ansley. Mike loved being a father more than anything, but he also was preoccupied with establishing a successful career.
Honestly, I get it. Like, especially at the beginning of my career, our son was like one or two, and I felt like I had to do everything to provide. And that sacrificed a lot of things for me. It sacrificed family time, I missed milestones, right?
Yeah.
But my heart was in the right place. I was doing it for our family, for our son.
Yeah. I wonder if this motivation and dedication came from him growing up not having a lot of money. You know, maybe that was his drive. He wanted to raise his family without having to worry about bills and things like that.
100%. I mean, his family sacrificed a lot. They sacrificed owning a home so that their children had a better education.
Yeah. Now, Mike majored in political science and urban planning. However, before he even graduated, he was hired as a real estate appraiser at Ketchum Appraisal Group, sometimes working all day to go home for dinner, help put Ansley to bed, and then return to work. It also wasn't uncommon for him to wake up early in the morning to go duck hunting. Mike had a drive that a lot of us wish that we could have just a little ounce of. Mike's mother said that he was making over $200,000 at the time of his disappearance.
Dang.
Yeah. And especially, what, 1999?
That's a lot of money. There.
He and Denise were able to purchase a house in a quaint, high-end neighborhood in Tallahassee and started talking about expanding their family.
I mean, he grew up less fortunate. So, I mean, I think he kind of had that chip on his shoulder to provide and make money and make sure his family had everything they needed and wanted.
Yeah, naturally. Now, on December 16th, 2000, Mike had plans to follow his usual routine. He woke up early before Denise and Ansley with plans to go duck hunting. On this day specifically, December 16th, it was Mike and Denise's 6th wedding anniversary, and they had plans to go out that evening. So Denise expected he would only be gone for the morning, but by noon, Mike still hadn't returned home, and she started to worry. She called her father and Mike's best friend, Brian, who had also attended North Florida Christian High School. The two of them traveled out to Lake Seminole to check out the spots that Mike usually went to when he was duck hunting. And when they got to the lake, they found Mike's truck, a 1994 Ford Bronco parked near a boat launch, but no sign of anyone else. Investigators from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, also known as FFWCC, were called in to begin a search for the missing hunter. The search was called off a few hours later as it was getting dark, and a rainstorm with an extreme cold front was rolling in. The search party reconvened with more people and resources early the following day. It was during this search that Mike's boat was discovered. It was in a small cove, actually only about 70 meters away from the boat launch. The boat wasn't running, and Mike's shotgun was still in the boat inside of its case, and the engine was dead, even though it still had a full tank of gas. Despite finding the boat, there was still no sign of Mike. That section of the cove did have a significant number of underwater trees and branches, so the Fish and Wildlife Commission speculated that perhaps the boat had hit an underwater stump, causing Mike to be thrown from the boat. The search continued for 44 days without success before investigators called it off, speculating that it would be unlikely Mike's remains would be recovered.
Right, because of what the alligators and the wildlife.
Right, but it was strange that there was no sign of Mike's remains. At the time of Mike's death, there had been 80 known deaths in that section of the lake. Mike's would have been the only one of those 80 bodies not to be recovered.
I mean, that's interesting. I wouldn't have assumed that, especially with the alligators.
Yeah. I have been diving deep into my reading journey lately, and I am thrilled to share something that's been a total game changer for me. Book of the Month. Book of the Month is more than just a subscription service. They've made it their mission to help readers discover new books they will love and to promote the work of emerging authors. Every month, they present a selection of the best new titles. I recently picked out The Return of Ellie Black. It's a fictional book written by Amiko Jean and has a strong, coherent plot with unexpected twists that kept me guessing. And let me tell you, I am hooked. And the best part, they offer these amazing books at a fantastic price and shipping's always free. Plus, their loyalty program is a cherry on top, offering even better deals the longer you stick around. I'm also genuinely impressed by how Book of the Month selects their books. Their editorial team goes through hundreds of titles to handpick the most engaging ones for us. So no matter which books you choose, you're in for a treat. Book of the Month's focus on new and emerging authors allows them to offer books their members would not have found otherwise. There's something for every type of reader. Right now, you can head over to bookofthemonth.com and snag your first book for a mere $5 using the code PETALS. It's such a good deal. I cannot recommend Book of the Month enough. It's not just about receiving books. It's about the joy of discovery. That's bookofthemonth.com. And use code PETALS to get your first book for $5. Now, even people from the area who knew the area very well seemed surprised that Mike disappeared without a trace, and they wanted to know how it was even possible not to find any remains at all.
I guess it's strange, though, because you would think you would at least find something, like clothes or, I don't know, anything, like a wedding ring. Like, maybe we're in the weeds a little bit, but...
anything.
Something.
Yeah. Now, investigators in charge of the search theorized that after Mike drowned, he was found by alligators who had likely stored the remains at the bottom of the lake to consume during the colder months when they had less to eat.
Oh, I figured they would just eat him. I didn't know they were smart enough to plan ahead, honestly.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, many of the members of this search party reported seeing a lot of alligators in the cove where Mike's boat was found. So it seemed like a plausible theory, especially coming from experts who worked for the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission. Mike's family really wanted closure. It didn't seem like a plausible explanation to them. But as time passed, it seemed like they would never exactly know what happened that morning. That is until about 6 months later, in June, someone fishing in the lake discovered a pair of waders floating. The FFWCC was called back, and divers searched the area where the waders were found. At the bottom of the lake, some additional items were recovered: a hunting jacket and a flashlight, and inside the pocket of the jacket was a hunting license with Mike's name and signature. But what's interesting is that none of these items had any bite marks on them. None of them seemed like they could have been sitting in water for 6 months. Ricky, and you've even seen these pictures of the license. Like, the letters are still intact. Like, it's been thrown in recently, not 6 months ago.
Yeah, that part is strange to me. And so, okay, maybe though, because it could have been in his wallet, right? And maybe it just didn't get, you know, messed with or whatever. But like, what blows my mind here is that if an alligator attacked him, and then we have waders and they, you know, have the wallet and all of that different stuff, like, how is there not like partial pieces of his body? How is there not a leg in those waders?
No bite marks.
No bite marks. Like, how isn't there a leg, like, or a piece of a body, or I don't know. It's just, it's really strange.
It's almost like his clothes were taken off of him and thrown in the water at some point.
Right. And I don't know if we're raising red flags yet, but right away, that seems weird.
Now, even though these items and like what Ricky was saying, it all raised suspicion with some of Mike's friends and family. It was enough for Denise Williams to petition to have Mike declared legally dead. So this was like, no body, here's his stuff, he's dead.
Right.
So
I get how it's calculated that, okay, we found a boat, we didn't find a body, but we found his clothes, he must be dead. But we've watched enough Crocodile Hunter to know something weird happened.
Something is really sus. And on top of that, money was becoming increasingly tight for Denise. Without Mike's income, friends had been helping her arrange to sell some of their belongings in order to bring that money in and just keep them afloat.
Yeah. I mean, he was the breadwinner. Like, they relied on that income to survive.
So, Ricky, have you ever tried to break a bad habit and felt like you're paddling upstream with a spoon?
No, never.
Oh, well, I have. But here's a breath of fresh air. Fume. It's not about giving up. It's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it healthier and more enjoyable. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume uses flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors.
Boy, so instead of bad, Fume is good?
Exactly. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial and is designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for de-stressing and anxiety, which helps break your bad habit.
Oh, so a good habit.
Yeah. Honestly, I didn't know what to expect about the taste, but wow, Fume flavors taste like you're biting into something super fresh. And if we're comparing, it's like choosing a chill herbal tea over a sticky sweet soda. Fume's got those natural, not too sweet vibes. It's refreshing in a just brewed, a cup of herbal goodness kind of way. And it's got this perfect balance and weight to it that just makes it super satisfying to hold. Kind of like the best fidget spinner you never knew you needed. With its real wood, sleek shape, it's kind of a statement piece, and it makes you feel a bit more fancy and cool using it.
I have many leather books.
Plus, Fume's just released a magnetic stand for your Fume, so there's no more losing it around your house or in the couch. You can just keep it right on your table, on your desk. It's built with fidgeting in mind, so you can spin it around, and it does this cool little spinny thing.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. So start the year off right with the good habit by going to tryfume.com/salad and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when they use our code SALAD to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Now, it does usually take longer than a 6-month wait to declare someone dead without a body. However, a judge agreed that the evidence that had been found was enough to declare Mike legally dead. This declaration allowed for Mike's life insurance policies to be paid out and the house to be transferred entirely into Denise's name. And there was a lot of insurance money involved.
Ooh, that's the magic word.
Williams had 3 policies that totaled more than $1.75 million between them.
Whoa.
Mike's boss, Clay Ketchum, suggested he make sure to have as much life insurance as possible once he and Denise had their daughter. Clay warned him that it was just a responsible choice since he engaged in so many adventurous and somewhat risky hobbies like hunting and boating around alligators, especially. Now, we mentioned this guy before, Brian, who is Mike's old high school friend. He worked in insurance, and he helped set up one of those insurance policies worth $1 million just weeks before the accident. Clay's advice and Brian's help meant that Denise and 18-month-old Ansley were taken care of and could continue living in William's expensive home.
I mean, I know it's premature, but this is his best friend who works for an insurance firm who sold the absolute highest amount of life insurance to his friend. Seems suspicious.
And it was weeks before the accident.
But if you were a smart criminal, you would probably like let it season, like give it a little time after the policy was set in place. But it is what it is, I guess.
But I feel like our crime salad brains or our true crime brains, as soon as we hear life insurance, we're like,
motive.
I already know what the motive is. Well, Mike's mom, Cheryl, she and his brother, Nick, were challenging his disappearance the most. And they felt like something wasn't adding up. They didn't believe alligators would have eaten Mike. It was too cold outside, and Florida natives even knew that the alligators typically didn't feed in 40-degree temperatures. It also seemed like Denise and Mike's best friend, Brian, were getting a little uncomfortably close.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so Mike's mom, Cheryl, and his brother, Nick, became more vocal about wanting Mike's case reinvestigated. And Denise, the wife, became more distant, refusing to let the Williams see Ansley.
So they lost their son, now they lost their granddaughter. But this all makes it way more suspicious. Like, something like this should have probably brought the family closer.
Yeah. In a documentary I saw, Denise threatened Cheryl, basically. Like, if you don't stop looking for your son, then you can't see your granddaughter.
Ugh, that's cringy.
Which probably gave her more fuel to just look for him.
Could you imagine? Like, that's so messed up. Like, give up hope, stop looking for your son, and you could see your granddaughter.
Ugh. Within a few years, the Williams family and Denise had become completely estranged. They were surprised to learn that Brian, who had also married his high school sweetheart, was getting a divorce because he and Denise started to date.
Son of a gun.
And then, in 2005, can you guess what happened?
They got together, married, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, Denise and Brian got hitched.
Hitched?
Cheryl Williams was not shy about publicly stating that she was suspicious of Denise and Brian, saying, quote, "They're the only two people that profited from Mike's disappearance."
They commit a crime, right? At a horrible time. Like, they didn't wait enough time after they got the insurance policy. Now all of a sudden they're together. She cuts off the whole family, which is suspicious. And now they're freaking married. Like, be smarter if you're a criminal. Like, plan it.
Yeah. Without Cheryl fighting for justice for her son, this case could have just gone
open and shut.
Open and shut. Like, yeah, well, that's just what happened. But the power of Cheryl's love is no match.
Well, it's that mother intuition. Sometimes you just freaking know.
Now, the marriage between Brian and Denise, it didn't last long.
Surprise.
In 2012, Denise and Brian separated. The separation was contentious. Brian did not want to divorce and had to be ordered by the courts to comply with the terms of the separation agreement. And one of the terms of this separation was to have the house the couple lived in officially appraised. Denise and Brian continued to live in the home that she and Mike had bought, and the appraisal was scheduled for early August 2016. On August 5th, the appraisal was to be submitted to the court. Still, as Denise left the house that morning to head to her job as an accounts payable manager and tax specialist at Florida State University, Brian surprised her from the back seat of her car.
Did he have flowers?
No.
Oh.
Denise had been on a call with her sister, who overheard the confrontation start. But Brian quickly took Denise's phone, ended the call, and pressed a gun into her ribs, demanding that she drive the car to a remote, secluded location. Instead of driving to the location Brian had given her, Denise drove to a very public CVS parking lot, staying as close to the store doors as possible. Instead of driving to the location Brian had given her, Denise drove to a very public CVS parking lot, staying as close to the store doors as possible. According to a police report, Denise asked if today was the day the two of them died. But Brian stated, "Just me," telling her that he did not want to divorce and that if she went through with it, he would have nothing else to live for. Somehow, Denise talked him into changing his mind, promising they could move on like none of this ever happened, as long as he didn't hurt her or himself. Once she had convinced him, she drove him to a park where he told her he had left his truck, and when he left her car, he took a plastic tarp, a bottle of bleach, and an unspecified tool with him.
Oh, man. So I have to say, I originally thought they were both in on this, but now I feel kind of bad because I feel like Denise could be innocent. Like, maybe this is like an obsessed dude who, I don't know. I feel bad. I feel like it's one-sided now.
Yeah. Yeah, seeing those things come out of your car and into the truck would be quite alarming.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know exactly what his intentions were. And to be honest, he probably did it before to Mike.
Now, Denise was terrified, and so she reported the incident to the police. Brian was arrested the same day and charged with kidnapping, domestic assault, and armed burglary.
Damn. Good, though. Close call.
And if Denise knows anything about what happened to Mike, I feel like she needs to spill the beans.
Yeah.
Now, Mike's family and friends suspected that Brian and Denise both knew more about Mike's disappearance and had been covering for one another for the last 16 years. Detectives also saw an opportunity to dig deeper into Mike Williams' case. They hoped that the implosion of their marriage and Brian's charges would be the catalyst for one of them to confess.
Oh, so the family still thinks they're both involved.
They always have.
Okay.
And that's what precisely happened. Court documents show that Brian told the detective his fear of what Denise would tell authorities about Mike's death, and the panic was what led him to kidnap her.
Okay.
In what has been described as a sweetheart deal, Brian Winchester confesses the details of Mike's murder. He leads the detective to the exact spot where Mike's remains are buried, also implicating Denise in the original plan.
Ooh. So, okay. He now admits to the crime. Mm-hmm. He takes them to the body. Mm-hmm. But then he says, yep, Denise is also involved, at least in the planning.
Yes. And this is all 16 years after Mike disappeared.
Dang. I did a roller coaster. I was like, guilty, guilty, guilty. Oh, maybe not. Now, oh my God, they're both freaking guilty.
Brian Winchester admits that he and Denise briefly dated in high school, but when they broke up, Denise started dating Mike.
Oh,
and
my.
Brian started dating Kathy. Both of the couples stayed close friends,
right,
socializing and going on double dates before eventually getting married and having their first child right around the same time.
They had to see what was, you know, what was there. They had to play it out.
And Brian confessed that he and Denise resumed their relationship in 1997 and things snowballed into an intense three-year affair.
Three-year affair. Was it worth 3 years killing your best friend, you know, to kind of be with a woman that didn't really want to be with you, and then you put a gun to her ribs and, oh my God, what a mess.
Like you said, I feel like Brian was so obsessed with Denise from the very beginning.
I got that feeling even when I said, okay, maybe Denise isn't involved. I thought he was like obsessed from a distance, but now they're both involved. But still, I think he's obsessed.
Now, they both began to consider how to end their marriages to be together. Brian was ready to divorce Kathy, but Denise hesitated to divorce Mike. She had been raised in a very religious home, and she worried her relationship with her parents would be affected if she was divorced. Brian says Denise suggested staging a boating accident where they could throw Mike and Kathy overboard. Still,
wait, Mike and Kathy?
Yeah.
So just to get rid of both of their significant others.
Just to throw them overboard, be done. Still, Brian wasn't concerned about divorce and rejected the idea of killing his children's mother. Brian claims the idea of staging a hunting accident came to him after a hunting trip where Mike stumbled into some quicksand and Brian had to pull him out.
I'm not very religious, but this is the part of the story where someone would say, that dude needs Jesus.
And so, when Mike disappeared, Brian convinced him to go on an early morning hunting trip. They met at a gas station, and Brian followed him to Lake Seminole. Together, they launched the boat. Nothing was unusual about this journey until Brian pushed him overboard, expecting Mike would drown. But in a panic, Mike was able to find his way to an exposed stump. It was at that moment that Brian shot Mike point blank in the face with his shotgun.
Jeez. So I'm assuming that he pushed him into the water wearing waders, right? Hoping that they would fill up with water and it would sink him to the bottom or something like that.
Yeah. And at this point, Brian knew that he could no longer pass Mike's death off as the drowning accident because, yeah, he was shot in the face. So he pulled Mike's body from the water. He loaded it into the back of his truck before pushing the boat back out onto the lake, hoping to leave the Bronco at the boat launch, which would give credence to the idea that there had been an accident.
Not to mention, everybody just thought that Mike went hunting alone. No one knew that Brian went with him.
Right, and Brian never said that he did. So with Mike's body still in his truck, Brian drove home. He got into his bed with his wife, Kathy, and pretended that he was just waking up. Later that day, Brian then drove Mike's body to a dead-end road about 10 minutes away from his home and buried him in piles of dirt. He gave police the coordinates of the burial site during his confession. What's his wife think at this point? I feel like I would be like, oh my gosh.
Well, I feel like it's like, wow, I dodged a bullet. Like, he could have killed me.
Yeah. It's really creepy.
Yeah.
You think you know someone, huh?
I don't think you ever know anybody. Except you, I know you.
Do I know you?
I hope we know each other.
On October 18th, 2017, nearly 17 years after Mike's initial disappearance, his bones were recovered. Among the skeletal remains were items belonging to Mike, including a shirt, winter gloves, boots, and his wedding band. The skull showed obvious damage, and an X-ray showed pellets from a shotgun, which substantiated Brian's explanation of events. DNA from Cheryl Williams confirmed the remains were Mike's.
So I wanted to throw this out there, because I think the way we tell it doesn't really show the amount of time that went by. But this was, what, like 17 years since Mike went missing. Like, this is huge. Like, people moved on. Like, people found closure, you know? And then, bam, a confession and a body.
And all along, his remains were buried in this dirt pile away from the actual lake.
Well, I mean, yeah.
They've been searching for hours and days and years.
And it's like you throw that extra variable that, like, the lake had alligators and, oh, yeah.
You know what is so amazing is Mike's mom, because she never gave up. In the documentary that I watched, she wrote thousands of pages of letters stating all this different evidence that supported that there is more to the story than just an accidental drowning.
Right. She definitely never found closure. Or the closure she found was that, okay, I know my son is dead, but she definitely said it wasn't the way they think.
In December of 2017, Brian Winchester was sentenced to 20 years in prison for kidnapping Denise, to be followed by 15 years probation. Detectives and state prosecution didn't make any announcements about Brian's plea deal, confession, or immunity until a press conference held after Brian's sentencing, where they announced Mike Williams' remains had been recovered and his cause of death was determined to be homicide. It was several more months before Denise Williams was arrested. On May 8, 2018, she was arrested on charges of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and accessory after the fact. As she left her job at Florida State University to meet her daughter, it was Ansley's 19th birthday. So Ansley grew up thinking that her dad was in this hunting accident.
It's a smack in the face on your 19th birthday for sure.
Yeah. Denise's trial began in December of 2018 with testimony from Mike's mom, Cheryl, Brian's ex-wife, Kathy, and several of the couple's friends from high school. But the bulk of testimony against Denise was from Brian Winchester. Brian took the stand over several days, giving hours of testimony about his affair with Denise, their conspiracy to murder Mike and collect life insurance, and a detailed account of the day he murdered Mike.
Now, I'm not sure how to take his confession, because part of me is like, okay, he did a really bad thing, but, you know, in retrospect, he's doing the right thing, you know? He looked back at his actions. It was wrong. I'm going to do the right thing now. But then the other part of me is like, is this just like evil? And he's like, I'm not going down alone.
I'm bringing Denise down with me.
Right.
That's what it kind of feels like. But.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know.
No. Denise's defense team argued that Brian was not a trustworthy witness and was making allegations about Denise being involved in an attempt to get revenge against her for the divorce, as well as going to the police about her kidnapping. Denise was found guilty of all three charges, and in February of 2019, she was sentenced to life imprisonment. A year later, Denise Williams successfully appealed her conviction and life sentence. Since Brian had testified that Denise wasn't present at the murder and that he never told her that instead of drowning, he had shot Mike, Denise's defense team argued she was not guilty of the first-degree murder charge. And a panel of three judges agreed and overturned the murder conviction. The conspiracy to commit murder charge remained, and Denise was resentenced to 30 years for that charge.
So just to clarify on that, they had a plan, right? I think I remember them having a plan to kill Mike, but it didn't exactly go the way they planned. But he never told her exactly what happened. So basically it was like agreed upon afterwards, like, well, Mike is gone.
Yeah.
Well, but no extra detail.
Yeah. And Brian even admitted that he never actually told Denise that he shot him.
Right. So she just assumed he drowned.
Yeah. So Brian Winchester is held in the Madison Correctional Institute in Florida for the 2016 kidnapping and burglary assault of Denise. Because of his immunity deal, he was not charged in connection with Mike's murder at all.
Screwed up.
So he shot and killed a man and got away with it.
Right.
And he is not eligible for release until 2036. So 20 years in prison for the kidnapping and 15 years probation.
Right. All because, what, he had immunity.
Yep.
I don't know. I have mixed feelings about that stuff too, because one, he probably would have never talked and we'd never know what exactly happened. But two, yeah, I mean, it does feel like he got off easy.
I feel like Cheryl, Mike's mom, had like this moment of finally this guy, you know, came forward. Everyone knows that this wasn't an accidental drowning. Ah, finally. But then there's never like that justice for her son's death.
I agree.
Like, there's no justice at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, he got away with murder.
You know, I hope she found closure in the sense that she now knows what happened to her son.
Yeah. Denise Williams is held at the Florida State Women's Correctional Facility for conspiracy to commit murder. She isn't eligible for release until 2046. To avoid charges for insurance fraud, all of the assets were awarded to Ansley, including multiple pieces of real estate, among them the home Denise and Mike had purchased when Ansley was a baby. The terms of that agreement stipulate that Ansley Williams is not allowed to use the money or assets to cover costs related to her mother's legal fees.
Oh, that's nice.
And if she violates them, there would be a $150,000 penalty. The money and assets have never been disclosed, but are estimated to be between $1.5 million and $2 million. Mike's remains were buried in Roselawn Cemetery in Tallahassee. His headstone lists his date of birth, date of murder, and date of burial. It was a bold decision to include murdered on the stone, but Cheryl told the Tallahassee Diplomat, in 100 years from now, when somebody is in the cemetery, it might make them go back and look and wonder what happened to him. I just feel really sad that my son didn't get to live his life.
I mean, to be honest, though, I kind of agree with putting murdered on the tombstone. You know, it's one of those things. That's what happened.
Yeah, me too. Mike's murder was hidden for so many years and staged to look like this accidental drowning, and even fooled experts.
Yeah, I think there's honor in that. You know, this is an indication that his life was taken from him.
Mm-hmm. I just really feel for Cheryl because, like, she went through so much to get justice for her son. I feel like she just needs a hug.
Yeah. There was a part in the documentary that we watched where they basically rolled her up in her wheelchair to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she had like pigtails or something and she was aging, but she was so strong, you know, that was what she was here for. Like, she was here for her son.
The power of mother's love.
For sure.
Cannot be matched.
Mother's love, intuition, she knew.
Well, I think this completes this week's episode.
I think so. This was a roller coaster.
Yeah, I agree.
It was ups and downs and who's to blame and victims versus predators. I don't know. Ugh.
Just get a divorce next time. It's just easier for everybody.
It really is. I mean, it all comes down to money. A lot of times these cases all come down to insurance money, financial struggle, insurance policy, murder.
They got to change these insurance things. It's just always a red flag.
It is.
Like, if I see a letter in the mail that says that you increased my insurance policy, I'm going
to
be...
But at the same time, you wanted to increase our insurance policy because we're going to Crime Con.
Because we're traveling to Crime Con, and why wouldn't we?
Yeah. If we go down in the plane, we want our kids to be living in riches.
Yeah. We've got to do it as a team. That's the thing.
No more rags, riches. Rags to riches.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.